Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, I have had quite a day today. You would not believe how my day be going, but it's a good day because I don't let these folks get next to me, you know. And what I was talking about on the Zoom call, there are so many ways to turn someone to betray their children and their community. Money is one. Their own ideology is another. Compromise is another. But the biggest problem we have is ego. Ego works best to turn a human being into a sellout. And Ben Harvey is the greatest example that you ever wanted to even talk about. You know, if you want anything in life, you have to stand up and fight for it. You cannot get anything in this world without fighting. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You see, especially as a black person, you see. We have to understand why people are motivated to take advantage of other black people to help themselves. You see, we have to understand that because I think it's kind of important. Let me give you the best example is this radio station here, 105.3. Charles Kelly is the rightful owner of the radio station. He died. True enough, they have a boy, but they had a good boy then because he wasn't taking no jab off these people, people like Ron Singleton. When he died, his wife became the owner of the radio station, you see, and owned the boy. So what he did, he bullied her. She's white. Charles Kelly was black. And Charles Kelly wasn't going for it. He wasn't going for that nonsense, you know. But he saw an opening to maneuver his way to take over the radio station. What he did was basically criminal. But you don't have nobody here willing to stand up to anybody who's an elected official here. That's why they keep getting away with stuff. They scared that they're going to come after them. They're going to do this. This is going to happen. This is just the way it is. This guy, Ron Singleton, is a piece of work. You know, At one time, I was going to help him. I wanted to support him because I felt that he could do something because I know he know how to connive, cheat, swindle, and steal. I know he know how to do that because I know he had stolen the radio station. But I didn't know that he was getting a pension fund for the last 10 years as a lieutenant, and he wasn't a lieutenant when he retired. I didn't know that. I had no idea that this guy had maneuvered his way to steal thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars from the city of Benton Harbor residents. And he did it, you know, like most people know about it, but nobody really want to do anything about it. Even the law, they know about it because he's one of them. He's getting lieutenant pay for the last 10 years and was not a lieutenant when he retired. Him and his buddy have schemed the city of Benton Harbor out of this money. Ron Singleton, don't forget, he's a commissioner now. So when it's time to vote for him again, be ready for him. Be ready. Because he has no idea what's really going on. He figured if he could scheme, get lieutenant pay, knowing he was not a lieutenant when he retired, knowing nobody would say anything about it, knowing that he can get away with it because of the people that live in the city of Benton Harbor. You see, they are so smart that they know nothing. It's almost embarrassing, you see. But he, not only have he stole the radio station, he's stealing money from the residents of Benton Harbor and is an elected official. That's right. He's an elected official and actually stealing money from this community. You see, black people, you have been robbed of yourself. You don't know who you are. You cannot let nobody come in and rob you like this guy's doing. He's robbing you. And you can also tell he votes for white folks. That's like every one of his votes is for the white man and woman. None is for the residents of Benton Harbor that is black. You know. And like I always say, when black folks can't defeat you, always find a black person, some Sambo, some boot licking, butt kissing, buck dancing, black person that they can try out in front of you, and black folks will accept this guy and his behavior. That is what's happening today. And then we sit around here and cry what the white man is doing to us. You're doing it to yourself. We sit around here every single day and cry what the white man is doing to us. Stand up and be a man. Take care of your children. Stand up for your children. Teach your son how to be a man. Teach him. That woman can't teach that young man to be a man. It has to be done by a man. Look at us. Look at us. It's disturbing the way we act and the things we do. And we allow it happen to us. And I say this from my heart. Black folks has been robbed of themselves. We come here, we listen to these preachers who don't have you at heart. They don't have your best interest. 99% of them don't have your best interest. But you think the only way that you can get to heaven is through him. That's not true. If he's not doing what he's supposed to do in the community, then he's not doing nothing. His job to help the people inside the community, to strengthen the people inside the community, and to stand up for the people inside of the community. That's his job. You see, that's where we miss the boat. We think, and that's why women be sleeping with these pastors and stuff, because they think they're getting closer to God because they don't read. Read the Bible. It'll teach you. You know, we are not this way. I cannot control your choices, your actions, your behavior. And I never could. And I won't waste any of my energy thinking that I can. Instead, I'm going to accept you for who you are and let you deal with that. You owe some people your actions. Sometimes it is time to deliver. Parents, make sure your children are healthy and safe. Equip them with the skills of resources for them to be successful as adults. Transmit basic culture values to them. Parents, offer your children love, acceptance, appreciation, encouragement, guidance. Children are a blessing to parents, but child care is something that many parents struggle with. A parent, you need to make sure that your child is taken care of and safe at all times. Give your child a tool. If he out here, I was looking at the video, there has a video on TikTok that this little boy, I guess they had bought him one of the little cars and it turned over. And he told his mama, I need a damn motor. And she put it on TikTok like it was cute. That wasn't cute. You're breeding something that's going to be disastrous for you and him. Allow him to talk that way in front of you. Keep a child in a child place. That's how you deal with children. Keep a child in a child place. That's how you deal with children. And you women, stop letting anybody drop their anchor on your ship. Don't allow him to drop his anchor on your ship unless he is worthy. This to all the ladies. This ain't some. This all. I would like to see these 13-year-old girls stop having babies. According to the health department, it had dropped a little bit. And I was speaking on that. And but we have to make sure that a 13-year-old should not be pregnant. If a 13-year-old, I know you can't watch your child 24 hours a day because you got to work. But if that girl gets pregnant, somebody needs to be held accountable, either the dude or you, the parents. 14. Either you or the parents. 15. Either you or the parents. Somebody needs to be held accountable. And that's what we don't do as a community no more. We don't hold each other accountable. We don't, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. We don't do that no more. You know, we don't do that. You know, and I don't know whether it's that this slave mentality that we're walking around with. I don't know that. I don't have no information in reference to that. My mind cannot compute a 13-year-old girl getting pregnant, 13-year-old girl having a baby at 13-year-old. I got a problem with that, a real problem. But what we have to do, we have to make sure we're taking care of our children, you see. But we got to make sure that the community is doing the right thing. You got this guy walking around here stealing the whole radio station and you think it's all right. It's not all right. It can't be all right, you see. From 1619 to 1861, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. More than. Over 35 million, over, were killed by slave trade, making it the greatest Holocaust the world has ever known. And we should never, ever expect the white race of people who actually, reason unknown, we have not done anything to them, hate our guts. And we can't expect them to save us. Let's save ourselves and our children. Because it is very, very important. Let me say this. They talk about the critical race theory. Examine how racial bias is fundamentally embedded in the fabric of the American white folks and has sharpened policies and shaped policies towards this is what they're doing. Critical race theory is an intellectual movement and framework of legal analysts according. Race is a culturally invented category used to oppress black people. That's what it does. It's designed to oppress black people. And if you're not in this world to make changes, what is the use of being born if we are not making our world better for those who are born after our children? If we are not making this world better, what good are we? Black people still suffer from the sins of white folks. And white folks today, too, we got to include them. We got issues, but we need to stand up and fight back. It's going to be some casualties, but you got to be willing to take that stand. There's nothing more important than standing up for what is right. I tell you this. There's nothing more important than standing up for what is right. Our community, we're behind. You know, things are going haywire right now. Look, you know, black folks never were out here killing children. What you gonna, I mean, what could a nine-month-old baby do to you? What? What would you drive at you and kill a nine-month-old baby and think you're a gangster? See, they want black folks to think that they're gangster. Black folks, they only tough when it comes to black people. They ain't tough when women. And they scared to death of white folks, you know. It's unfortunate, but the truth is a light, and we have to let it shine. These white devils will do anything, but we have to learn to stand up and do what needs to be done to take this thing to a whole different level. I'm going to bring in my first guest, and I'm hoping that we could see how this is going to turn out. But I'm going to bring in my very first guest, Annette. She's going to tell us what is going on with the situation down in Louisiana. Annette, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I'm here, and thank you so much for the opportunity. I am beginning to connect some dots with these radio stations, and especially the black radio stations. I'm finding that the black radio stations are not talking about the issues that are in our community and then silencing us from speaking and utilizing the airways to actually have our voices heard and to further our agendas. So we have really lost a lot of our black publications such as Jet, Ebony, even BET. If you speak to a lot of black people such as myself, very seldom do I even watch the stations because the programming is very outdated. It doesn't address any of the issues. And again, a lot of the shows, they are beneath the level of intelligence that I would actually want to promote the station. And I am someone who really tried to seek and support black ownership. So so, again, even with you talking about that, I was listening to Las Vegas, and they have a call-in talk radio show. They say we are the people station, but yet you have certain individuals who are on the station, and they only talk to their friends, only allow their friends to call in, and that is when they are speaking about issues that are more personal than they are community orientated. So are these people being paid to silence us, to not make sure that our messages are not getting out, our agenda is not being broadcasted in such a way, when we actually have the First Amendment right to freedom of the press, whether it is radio, newspaper, or any media? So again, this is very disturbing on many, many levels. But one thing I do want to address, Pastor Reverend Pinckney, is the fact that this weekend is coming up. It's Good Friday. And I would like to address the fact that by my family being black farmers, I remember that would be planting day. You know, Good Friday, we're going to put our seeds in the soil.
Yep.
So I would really like to go, I would really like to go back to a lot of the things that we used to do and be able to have a vision that is for everyone. This is not about personal agendas anymore. So one other thing I want to bring up when it comes to the churches, please stop saying Easter Sunday. This is not about a rabbit. This is about a lamb. This is not about Easter. This is about Resurrection Sunday. So how egregious can this be when everyone who are Christian will tell you how what all they did to our Lord, and to say Easter, this is just, so, again, some of the things that we're doing within the church, it is so far away from what God has for us to be doing, and we're not about our Father's business, and then we're actually leading a lot of sheep. We're actually leading them. We are leading them astray. So, again, I just wanted to bring those points up, and let's not everyone forget. And please, I would like very much, I'm going to find some way to put it on all my social media, so maybe they need to be embedded into my platforms. MacDonald Monday, whatever everybody do, this is so important. And we want you to understand why you're doing this. We want everyone to understand. It doesn't matter what city you're in. If you know what not to do on these specific days, we will cause a global meltdown. We can do wealth transfer by actually knowing what not to do and promoting it. Make sure all your church members, your co-workers, your family, your neighbors know on MacDonald Monday, no fast foods. No fast foods. No fast foods. Ticket Tuesday, I didn't realize how serious this was. I was living in Las Vegas, so therefore I understand the ramifications of gambling and what it can do to a whole family and the wealth. So Ticket Tuesday is no gambling and no lottery tickets and no tobacco on Tuesday. Walmart Wednesday. This is so huge. No one, please don't go to Walmart on Wednesdays, and do not go to any of these convenience stores, because very seldom do you find a black-owned convenience store. Do you know how much money they are drinking out of our communities from these convenient stores? And then we have Thirsty Thursday. Thirsty Thursday is where we don't buy any gas at all. Thursday, you can buy it on Wednesday, you can buy it on Friday. But on Thirsty Thursday, do not stop at a gas station and buy any gas or go to a liquor store and do not buy any alcohol on Thursday. Foreign Friday. This is a global message to send to the world. We are not going to do business with any race of people who are not doing business with us back. So when they understand and they go into their stores at night, because they're not there during the day, they're actually paying somebody minimum wage to work a cash register that is bringing in millions, millions. This is tax season. We need to demand each and every store, because a store, they're actually a business. Their taxes is supposed to be made public. When you see whatever their taxes are, you say, okay, I want a percentage of that to go back. And be specific, whether it is to the NAACP, the Boys and Girls Club, or the Grambling State University. Be specific where you want that particular business to donate. We want you to direct your dollars right back to the same community that is putting that money into your business. Now, you have not because you ask not. When we start going to stores and I come in, I say, oh, well, who's the owner? Oh, they are to the golf course. They this person, that person. Okay. Well, you know, do they donate back? I spoke with a Korean lady. She says, oh, yes, we donate back to the police fund. I said, well, I don't see any police in here. Everybody I see in here look like me. And you should have seen all of the other people start looking around at each other, and they like, yes, that's right. Okay, well, what have you done? I mean, you know. So, again, these are the things that we need to be bold and saying, if I'm giving you a dollar, we need 50 cents back. Now, if we can do business with you, we're going to demand that you do business with us. And we're saying not just not go in. Yeah. Just don't go into the store. We're going to demand that they come into our stores. If you don't see no Asians in your stores, Hispanic, Mexicans, or whoever, if they're not in your stores, if you own a black business and you don't see any of them coming to shop with you, do not go and shop with them. It's just as simple as that. We don't have to boycott anybody. We have to control the economy. And you do that by shifting those dollars. We don't go to the ballot box to go vote for you. We're going to vote with some money. And this is how we become to be powerful. And so we don't have to ask anyone for anything. We got to demand what it is that we are doing, have a system that is in place, that we are organized. And it doesn't matter if I ever speak to you, if I never go to your city, if I just know what not to do on the day I know not to do it, we are working together. So that's the main thing. And when those merchants get ready to start tallying up that money at the end of the day and we didn't walk in that store, you can believe they're going to start walking in our stores because they're going to get the picture. They do not care about us out there shopping. They don't care about us when we get shot down. And I'm telling you, the way that blacks are murdered in the street. Yes.
Yeah, go
so
ahead.
The way that blacks are murdered in the streets, if that was an animal, you would see the animal rights people coming out in droves.
Mm-hmm.
However, it wasn't about George Floyd and being murdered in the streets. It was the fact that we had so much media coverage in that courtroom. These are the things that we must demand, because the police, they do what they do because they know the courts are going to back them. When they start having that are not corrupt, then that's when we're going to see more justice. Again, I can never stress to every single person we must understand, we must go to the root of what is going on. And like I said, everybody, no McDonald's, no fast food Monday, ticket Tuesday, no gas, I mean, excuse me, no lottery tickets, no gambling, and no tobacco. Do you know how much we spend in tobacco, cigarettes, cigars? It's just mind-blowing. Walmart Wednesday, no Mart stores, no convenience stores, no Walmart. Thirsty Thursday, of course, no drinking and no gasoline, and then Foreign Friday. Then, you know, Reverend Pinckney, this is very important. On April 15th, the 120-year anniversary of the Davis Brother Lumber Company, and they filed their first income tax on April 15th, establishing their business. And it has been in continuous operation for 120 years that has been stolen behind our back. So what I would like to do, and I always come on your show and say, you know, to everyone, please Google the Davis Brother Lumber Company. But what I would like to do is take these few minutes to read to you their story.
All right, go ahead.
Ansley and the Davis Brother Lumber Company, located 20 miles north of Hodge in Ansley, the Davis Brother Lumber Company employed a different business strategy than Huey Hodge. Although both firms own between 65,000 and 100,000 acres of timberland and began their operations around 1900, Huey Hodge, establishing an efficient network of common carriers and private logging roads that link three mills and over 100,000 acres of timberland. Instead of erecting multiple mills like Hodge Hunt, Davis Brothers concentrated their milling efforts in Ansley and continuously upgraded their capacity. The Davis Brothers built a private railroad, the East and West Louisiana Railway, did not become a common carrier despite a lawsuit. I just want to stop right there and just let you know, first of all, where they said they had over 65,000 acres. And the lawsuit was the United States government tried to make them become a common carrier where anybody could just use those rails. And the Davis Brothers actually won that lawsuit because it was their land, it was their trains and their tracks. So I just wanted to point this out. And this was in the early 1900s. The Davis Brothers, the Eastern, okay. Huey Hodge purchased their land in large segment, a style used by speculators, but the Davis Brothers purchased their bad timberland piecemeal. Now, they said purchase, so no one gave them this land. They were buying the land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they harvest timber and produce lumber at a slower rate, in 1909, 75,000 for the Davis Brothers versus 125,000 for Huey Hodge. The two firms exemplified the difference between business model. Huey Hodge was formed by a conglomeration of southern-born businessmen with railroads linking three mill towns, while the Davis Brothers was a family business focused around the community of Ansley. Like many of the lumbermen who developed North Louisiana timber resources, the Davis Brothers trained in South Arkansas before opening their mill in Ansley, Louisiana. By 1873, three of the sons, now these are the white Davises that joined us, who are the black Davis, and the way that we are distinguished between the two is that we are the Davis family with the Davis Brothers, and they became the family business. So it was three sons, John, James, Virgil, were old enough to assist full-time in the mill, while Robert assisted as much as possible. Sometimes in the late 1870s, John moved to Prescott to Waldo in order to utilize the new built cotton railroad, which opened in 1877 and linked Illinois and Texarkana. The four Davis brothers worked father in the sawmill. In October 1891, John D. suffered a stroke and was discovered dead in his stable. Sometime in late 1800s, the four Davis brothers began their own lumber operation south of Waldo, Arkansas. John Virgil operated the mill in lumber, while James and Robert operated a mill in new lumber. In October 1899, the Davis brothers traveled to Ruston and set off on horseback to survey Lincoln, Jackson, and Biambo Parish timberland. Their first purchase of North Louisiana timber was in Biambo Parish on October 19, 1899. In 1900, the Davis brothers sold their interest in Columbia County, Arkansas. They named the town after Virgil's wife, Marie Antoinette Ansley. They spent the first 2 years carving the village of Ansley. On December 17, 1902, Virgil John Robert W. Davis incorporated the Davis Brother Lumber Company, LTD Limited, with $100,000 in capital stock. In today's money, $100,000 is equivalent to $3.7 million in 1902. So I just wanted to give people information on the Davis brothers. There are several articles that are all throughout. Like I said, you can go on YouTube, you can go on Google and see the history. Now, I also put on my Facebook page, when you go into the Davis brothers and you click on the document page, you can see where in 1913, the Davis brothers, they actually had 100% capital stock in 13 banks. And if you've been seeing all of these banks that are collapsing, cause, again, when I went to the IRS in Las Vegas a couple of years ago, took the Davis Brothers tax ID number from 1903 that we're getting ready to celebrate 120 years. 600 journalists went to 117 countries and discovered what has been called now the Pandora Papers. Wow. On December the 8th, 2021, Congress examines nearly $32 trillion that's been hidden and stolen from this estate. Mr. James S. Henry is a financial analyst since 1985. He says that we have quantified that it is not $30 trillion, it is $50 trillion. I just sent you a video that validated that, and I did not get the gentleman's name, and he's a reverend as well. However, he's talking about the wealth transfer. And one of the things he said, he said, listen, this is not where you're going to go out and say, I'm rich, I'm rich. No, that is not what this is. This is a shift and a transfer from one group of people, and I quote, this is exactly what he said, from one group of people to another group of people. Now, when I've been asking all of the yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen,
yes.
I thank you. But
yes.
I gotta move on.
Thank you so much, Pastor Pinckney. And we want
okay.
all the churches, please make sure that your members are a part of this shift.
Mm-hmm. We'll do.
Okay, thank
Listen.
You.
All right, and take care of yourself. That was my good friend Annette. She's from Louisiana, Las Vegas, the whole world. But let me bring in my good friend, Dr. Tan. Dr. Tan, talk to me. Tell me what's going on
yes.
in your world.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Reverend Pinckney. What's going on in our world is that we now have to become more and more clear that we are considered the universal enemy of Europe and of America. And what was stated was at an international conference that there needs to be a decreasing of the population of Africa, and that would also include the African American. So Bill Gates' statement that there's too many people, remember Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, Margaret Singer, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, those are people part of the eugenics program, which means the good gene program, which was designed to get rid of African Americans and the mentally handicapped. That program still exists. And if you look at the program, you will see that the diseases have been a scientific move to always to try to get rid of the African-American population. The HIV, you know, starting in Africa, but being sent to Africa from Florida by a group of Haitians that were inoculated with smallpox, and the smallpox that they were inoculated with had HIV, and therefore they were serviced by the hotel prostitutes and sent that disease into the community. When we look at what happened in Tuskegee, we have to remember that it was the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, that ran the experiment and refused to stop the experiment until it became such a big issue that President Clinton had to shut down the Tuskegee experiment, where they gave syphilis to black men as a part of a health screen. So how it is that these people who lynched us, which means hang us, and we got to stop using the word lynching because young kids don't know what that means. We have to say they hung us, then they burned us, and then they would always like to cut off the man's penis. So they would hang us, burn us, cut off the man's penis, and guess what? This was doing a picnic. So before you had a lot of the big band entertainers, the entertainment for a picnic would be the lynching of a black man. And sometimes when the black woman stood up, they would actually lynch her too. In one particular case, they not only lynched her, but they hung her. And I have to correct myself with the lynching, hanging. They hanged her and then cut her baby out of her stomach and let it drop on the floor and then stomp his head. So these are the same people that say they want to help save us with medicines, vaccines, and chemical things. So these same people, when we just ask for civil rights, they greeted civil rights protests with billy clubs. When we just ask for human rights, they bombed our churches and four little black girls were killed for asking for human rights. And the disgraceful thing was that once they bombed the church in Birmingham and killed the little girls, they sent black football coaches to do the investigation. You heard me correctly. No, they didn't send the FBI. No, they didn't send the CIA. No, they didn't send the state police. They sent black football coaches. You can see them now on the news that those black Shannon and Steve and Stephen and all those people sent Negroes like that down to investigate a bombing of a church. No white organization, Arab organization, Jewish, Hebrew organization, no Polish organization would allow that to happen. So they did that to us. They also took a community that was wealthy, that was doing well, that said, if you don't want black people to deal with you, then we'll just deal with ourselves. And when they did that, they took planes, dust cropping planes, filled them with kerosene, and dropped those kerosene bombs on these black houses, and the people ran out their homes, and then they were shot down by the white mob in the street.
Mm.
That's called Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's called Greensburg. That's called Rosewood. So any black community that was wealthier than white communities, they would always try to massacre. And that's what they don't want you to learn, that they were the last of this human species to develop as they came out of the Ice Age. And everybody wants to be like them. Now you have an ignorant young lady who's an Indian chick, who daddy was an aristocrat from Jamaica, so they're immigrant to the United States, a chick named Carla Harris, mm-hmm. over in Africa, and she has no identification, no association, no relationship to the people of Africa. And when she was asked, would she do anything for black people, she said, no, absolutely not. So they're using her as a buffoon, and they're thinking that the African people are still buffoons anymore. But now the African people have learned from Fidel Castro
mm-hmm.
that you need somebody else to help you. They learned from the assassination of their beloved Pan-Africanist, Omar Gaddafi, that they need somebody else to help you. So that's why the Chinese is there. They know from how you've done not only Saddam Hussein, not only have how you've done Bin Laden. How they done Bin Laden. Now people mm-hmm. are not paying attention. That first, these were all first friends of the United States, and then when they wanted to do better for their people, they became the enemy. Remember, one of the greatest African leaders on the African continent, other than Omar Kenyatta, was the leader of Uganda, mm-hmm. Idi Amin. He's the one who started off as the flunky for the United States and Britain. And then he says, once he got in power and established, nope, I'm going to take care of my people. We're going to build
yep.
hospitals. We're going to build roads. We're going to do everything that we need to take care of our people. And then he became hated because he was trying to take care of the people. So they looked at how America has done them. You would have to find one place in the United States, you would have to find one place on the planet Earth where white people have treated black people okay, and that place where you can find where white people have taken care of black people and treated them right, that place is called in the future.
Mm.
There's no place in history, no place in the world where the European American, the European, the white, the Arab, the Asian, the Latin, has treated the African people, the black people, correctly. Even though the African has always, the black has always treated all humanity as brothers. And that is the mindset that we have. If a white person isn't pro-Africa, pro-black, then you know They just undercover racist, undercover segregationist, trying to play your friend, trying to get in. You only have a few diamonds, European Americans, only a few diamond Europeans. For us, we can put name them on one hand. Jane Elliott, Tom Weiss, that we can put down and say that they were for us, and John Brown. So
yeah.
John, so we can, three European American heroes for the African American community that looked out for the African American community. Just three. Three in the last 400 years that I can identify. Three. So white people like black people that don't like black people. White people, European American people, like black people that don't like black people. That's why they make them politicians. White people like black people that don't like black people, and that's why they make them pastors and preachers and deacons and bishops. Because no black church here in the United States is ran by a black organization. They're all ran by whites, with the exception of the Shrine of the Black Madonna, with the exception of the Nation of Islam. Every other Christian organization in the United States is ran by a white head administration, and that is the law coming out of slavery as a result of the Nat Turner Rebellion. Nat Turner is one of our greatest heroes in the United States, standing right behind John Horse. John Horse is our only true Superman hero who fought white enslavement, who fought white oppression, who fought white degradation for 50 years straight, John Horse. So we have people who stood up for us. And it's a blessing that you inherited that gene where you're standing up for the people, Reverend Barry. It's a blessing that you inherit that gene standing up for the people, Reverend Pinckney. It's a blessing that I can say that someone inherited a gene that who does it by actions and not by words. See, your actions should speak so loud that people can't hear a thing that you're saying. Your actions should speak so loud that you can't hear a thing that they're saying. See, the only person else that we have by their actions is Dr. Claude Anderson. Dr. Anderson walked the walk, talked the talk. Put his own money on the line when Reparations Ray didn't have a dime to push forth the reparation effort. That is created by Dr. Claude Anderson in Reparation Ray. Claude Anderson spoke with Dr. Martin Luther King. And that last 2 years when Dr. Martin Luther King started asking for reparations and going to get their check, they said, what the heck? And then the blacks who don't like blacks got together, called the Black Six, got together, who had put a ban on Dr. Martin Luther King, not letting them speak in the black churches, not letting them speak in the Southern Christian leadership, got together and pulled Dr. King out of his banishment, out of his exile, to offer him a chance to speak at a church in Memphis when they would not allow him before, only to use that as a pretext to murder him the next day, to set him up on the balcony when King was already scheduled on the lower level, which would made it harder for the sniper to get his shot, but then Messy Jesse Jackson put him up on the balcony so that the sniper can get a clean shot. And then Abernathy and them set him up on the X spot with the Pacific spot where he's supposed to be with the pole that sticks up coming off the little balcony guard where he's supposed to be there to set him up for the sniper. And then the police informant make sure to check the shot when he was down to see if the shot took him out of where he was still alive. But King was still alive and did not die until he was suffocated in the hospital. And they have a bed confession from the FBI agent that was involved in the murder of Dr. King. King was doubly murdered. He was shot as an attempted assassination, but he was murdered to complete the assassination. So it was an attempted assassination and then a murdering of Dr. King. And then you have the people who were compliant with that were your pastors of that day. They treated Dr. Yes. King like they did Jesus. Jesus was betrayed by the clergy. Those clergy who supported Herod, those clergy who work with politicians, those clergy who work with the government are called Herodians because they worship Herod instead of Yah, instead of Yahweh, instead of Jesus, instead of the Christ. They may speak the name, but they can't claim the name because their actions and their deeds show that they are insane when it comes to loving God. Because in God, there is no contradiction. If you're a pastor or you're a bishop, there is no contradiction. You don't fornicate. If you're a pastor or a bishop, there is no contradiction. You don't adulterate. If you're a pastor or a bishop, there is no contradiction about you being drunk with alcohol. If there's a pastor or a bishop, there is no contradiction if you being a brawler, fighting your wife or hitting your wife or being a fighter. No, there is no contradiction. Timothy and Titus, the books, laid it out clearly. So most of our pastors work for Lucifer. Most of our deacons and bishops work for Satan. Most of our religious leaders work for the devil, the slanderer, because their walk should reflect their talk. You can speak a good game, remember, because speaking a good game is a symbol for Satanism. Speaking a good rap is a symbol for Lucifer. Speaking nice words is a symbol for the devil, because remember, he was the one who came in as a dragon into the Garden of Eden and spoke to Eve, and with his words deceived her. And if you look at Revelation 12:9, then it will tell you that it was a dragon that was in the Garden of Eden, not a snake, because you can't punish a snake by throwing a snake on the ground and making it crawl on his belly. So that don't make no sense. So now we have to elevate our people's mind. So the historical record, which is actually yesterday for black people, the mistreatment of black people in terms of historically started yesterday on April 2nd. I can guarantee you, you can look on Facebook, Twitter, and you will find out that black people were misused, misabused in the United States yesterday. And they want to go after TikTok because they don't control TikTok. Twitter is owned by white people in the United States. Facebook is owned by white people in the United States. Everything is owned by white people in the United States, except they can't control the Twitter, because if the Chinese, Korean, or whatever, they're letting you speak documentaries and truth that the government don't want you to know. That's why they're trying to trick them. Facebook, you had sex on there. Facebook, you have murdering, that part. But those are the things that we have to look at. When they tell us something, it's always a deception. They are talking about Donald Trump, but what about the trial of Anthony Fauci? What about the trial of Anthony Fauci that was going on? He had to do 7 hours of testimony because it's supposed to be a federal offense when you lie before Congress. It's supposed to be a federal offense, but people are trying to line up behind Satan. People are trying to line up behind a liar. But yet you don't want to talk about Fauci, but you want to talk about Trump. Ooh, you so mad at Trump. Trump didn't do a damn thing at you as a black person because you were so damn poor that your situation didn't change. Trump did not do a damn thing to change the situation of black America. Black America is still where it was when you had Obama. So Obama didn't remove the 13th Amendment that says if you be locked up in the prison that you are now considered a slave. Obama didn't remove the fact that the Dred Scott decision says that America, no European American, has to respect anything of a black man, because a black man or African was never meant to be a full citizen. That's why they're using the Nigerians, who are British lovers. And Nigeria is not even is an African name. It's actually a European name that was given to that country. So you have that going on. So you have our own people mistreating our people. And so we have to raise your standard and call out the Sambos. We have to raise your standard and call out the House Negroes. We have to raise your standard, and so your footsteps must precede the conversation that you're going to have with me. Because I don't want to hear what you got to say. I want to know what you've done. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I want to know what you've done.
Yes, Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Dr. Tan. I tell you, you know, you. Hey, if people are not listening, I'm gonna have you on. I'm gonna send out a Facebook thing today, and I'm gonna send it so you can send it out to the people. And listen, on that note, I gotta let you go. But listen, let's talk soon.
Amen. Bye bye.
All right.